Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to the podcast today. I'm excited about the messages God has been placing on my heart through my study time, and it's a blessing to share these biblical truths with you on a regular basis. We know that our God is a great God, and He's concerned about our direction being right. I hope today's message will be a blessing in setting that direction and encouraging your spiritual walk.
Joshua 24:14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this time tonight to learn more about spiritual leadership and to learn lessons from the life of Joshua. I just pray that you would bless this time of preaching and learning, and may it be a time of strengthening of your people. And we'll thank you for this time in your house as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our theme this year is by His Spirit, and we are learning how the Holy Spirit of God guides and directs and leads in our lives in order that we might have the godly influence in this world that the Lord intends for us to have in ministry. And certainly Joshua is a great example of a man upon whom the Holy Spirit rested and through whom the Holy Spirit of God worked in a great way. The Bible says in Numbers 27 and verse 18, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. And he set him before Eleazar the priest and before the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight." Joshua was a man greatly used of God as a spiritual leader in his generation. You know, tonight, you may not be a success in the world's eyes. You may not even accomplish everything that you would like to accomplish. Even the goals that you thought would be attainable 10 or 20 years ago, they may be out of reach in some ways in the sense of man's idea of success. But if you walk in the Spirit, and if you're obedient to the Lord, you are a spiritual leader. You are successful on God's economy. And we see that in the life of Joshua tonight. He was a man greatly used of God. As we come to the last portion of the book of Joshua, Joshua is nearing the time when God would call him home. And he gathers the children of Israel together in this chapter, and he begins to rehearse certain things with them, challenging them now to live for God and to do the right thing. I don't know about you, I like to hear the last words of people. I like to hear what they say towards the end of their life. I think that's why I love the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, as the Apostle Paul gives the last challenge to Timothy. And Joshua here is giving the last challenge to the children of Israel. And he is primarily challenging them to remember God, to remember the blessings of God, and to take their stand for God in the days ahead. Someone said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And Joshua was reminding them of the failures of the past and reminding them of how to have the blessings of God in the future. And I want you to learn with me tonight, just briefly, a few of the characteristics of Joshua's life that made him such a tremendous example in his generation. Notice in verse 14, the Bible says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord." Notice in the first place tonight the reverence of Joshua. Joshua was a man who feared the Lord. He challenges the men to fear the Lord. He was a man who practiced the presence of God. He lived his life with an awe, with a reverential trust for God. You know, I'm afraid that many Christians today have forgotten that our God is a holy God. and that He is worthy of our reverence, and that we are to practice His presence and live with a holy awe and reverence for God within our heart. Too many Christians live like the little child who wants to get as close to sin as they possibly can without getting caught. But when we understand separation, we're not only separated from sin, but we're separated to God. And we live our lives with the fear of the Lord. A man ought to live his life so that everybody knows he is a God-fearing man, especially his family. And this is how Joshua lived his life. And so he says, now therefore fear the Lord. He feared the Lord. He revered the Lord in a few very important ways. If you're taking notes this evening, he revered the Lord, first of all, with a heart of faith. In other words, even when serving God did not make sense to others, and maybe not even to him, still, because he so revered God, he expressed faith and he walked by faith in doing the will of God. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles back to the book of Numbers just for a quick moment. Numbers chapter 14. And notice there, if you would, in verse number 6, just to get an idea of his reverential faith. The Bible tells us in Numbers 14 and verse number 6 these words. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, some of you heard the story when you were in Sunday school, and some of you have told the story about the 12 spies that went into the land. And 10 came back with an evil report. And 10 said, it is impossible to take this land. The giants are too tall. The foe is too great. There is no way. And they greatly feared the inhabitants of the land. But there were two, Joshua and Caleb, who had great fear in their heart, great reverence in their heart for God. In short, they thought more of God than even these great enemies that they would face. And so they said to their peers, they said to them, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us. And I just want to quickly say tonight, that while we may see many things in our nation that discourage us, and we may see churches that compromise, and we may feel outnumbered, and we may sometimes hear the other 10, if you will, saying, you can't live the Christian life in 2010, and you can't have an old-fashioned family or church in 2010. It really is all about perspective. And if you are more in tune with griping Christians, if you are more in tune with a sarcastic culture, then yes, it is impossible to live for God in 2010. But these men were in tune with God, and they had great reverence for God and fear for God. And because of that, they simply believed if God said we're going to possess this land, then God will do what He said He will do. Whether that is as a father training up your children, whether that is in the realm of soul winning or serving, we need men today who will fear and awe the Lord. And I can think back to the early days of our church in 1986 when we would gather together and there was an excitement and there was a thrill to sing the songs. And Brother Butterfield always blesses my heart as I reminisce about those early songs, Brother Butterfield, and those early days of soul winning and trusting God and guest preachers coming and the First Missions Conference and all of these great memories. And there was something in our hearts. We realized, hey, we're little. And God is big, and we need God to do something in our midst. And we have a great big God who wants to do some great big things. And listen to me tonight. If we would keep that attitude, I think it could safely be said that we have only now begun to see what God Almighty wants to do in this church. But when we begin to think, well, we're kind of a big church now, and we've seen some great things that we've done, then we begin to miss the whole point of Joshua's life. Joshua was a man greatly blessed of God because he knew that he was little and he knew that God was big, and he greatly feared or reverenced the Lord. He revered the Lord in faith. Notice secondly, he revered the Lord in obedience. Joshua throughout his life was an obedient man. And I'll not develop this fully, but he was obedient to Moses because he was obedient to the Lord. He always trusted God, and he always followed the direction that Moses gave to him. Turn back, if you would, to Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. Early in the leadership ministry of Joshua, after Moses had died, and as Joshua now had become the leader of the people, they would face their first battle, and it would be in that place called Jericho. Jericho was a town that was surrounded by a strong fortified wall. Strong enough, no doubt, for chariots to make their way around the top. Many in that day, of course, thought it was impregnable. There was no way that the walls of Jericho could ever be penetrated. And so Joshua's first battle was another impossible battle. A little man going against a great enemy, trusting in a big God for victory. And the Bible tells us that just before the battle would begin, and we all know that it was fought in a very strange way indeed, but just before God miraculously delivered Jericho, Joshua took a walk around the walls of the city. And in Joshua 5 and verse 13 it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and beheld, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went out unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." In this particular passage, we see the Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate state appearing to Joshua. And Joshua asks a very interesting question, and he says, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" But the Lord said unto him, "As the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." The question tonight is not simply a question of whose side we're on, but it's also a question of whose side is God on. What is God doing in this matter? Let us pray that God is in the middle of this thing that we would do. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met with a group of ministers for a prayer breakfast. And one of the ministers said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." Lincoln responded by saying, "Gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." Oh, it's important both ways, that we would be on God's side, yes. But how much more important that he is on our side. And Joshua revered the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the Lord commanded him to take off his shoes. And the place where he was standing was a holy place. And in reverential obedience, he humbled himself before the Lord. And God gave the victory to Joshua because he knew he was little. And he knew that God alone was great, and that God alone could bring the victory. James 4 and verse 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now come back to the text, Joshua 24, 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord." Would you say that with me? "Now therefore..." Joshua was about to pass off the scene. He's giving his last counsel to the congregation. He said, "I want to challenge you now, therefore, in light of all that God has done, I want to challenge you to fear the Lord. I want you to fear him and honor him and be in awe of him more than any of the other tribes, more than any of the other gods, more than any of those nations that surround you. You must fear and honor God." How many Christians today fear and honor perhaps the culture, perhaps what people think at work? They're concerned about that. And they're in awe of so many things, but not in awe of their God. And may we leave here tonight realizing he is a great and a high and a holy God. But notice not only the reverence of Joshua, but notice secondly the remembrance of Joshua. Notice what he says here in verse 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now, to serve the Lord involves obeying His commandments, doing what He has commanded us to do. The Bible says in Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord," Jesus said, "and do not the things which I say?" You see, the fact is that worship that does not involve service is cheap worship. And true biblical worship always involved serving the Lord or sacrificing, whether it was the wise men with their gold, frankincense, and myrrh, whether it was the widow and the widow's mite, whether it was someone else giving their life. There must always be a remembrance that involves sacrifice. And so Joshua's remembrance was, first of all, that he remembered the Lord in worship. He was reminding them that they were to remember the Lord in worship, serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. Turn, if you would, and notice there in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. "And in Egypt," notice this, "and serve ye the Lord, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve." Now notice the worship of Joshua. First, I want you to see it was a separated worship. It was a separated worship. He tells them that they are not to serve after the gods, verse 15, of the Amorites. He tells them that they are not to serve, verse 14, after the gods from Egypt, but that they were to serve the Lord. They were to follow the will of God in their life. And it's vital that in our lives we would have a heart wholly committed and wholly consecrated to the Lord, that we would follow Him with all of our heart. 2 Corinthians 6:17 speaks of it. "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Listen, whether it was in the Old Testament, whether it was in the New Testament, or whether it's in this day in which we live, God does not want part of your heart. He does not want us reverencing the things of this world and giving lip service to Him. In Exodus 20, He said, "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." And when Joshua spoke to the people about this matter of remembering the Lord, he said, when you come to the place of worship, you remember to worship Him only and worship Him wholly, and not after the gods of the Amorites and not after the gods of the Egyptians. And in the New Testament, He said, "Come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord." And the same in this day in which we live, with so much pluralism and so many of our young people in colleges being told that all roads lead to the same place and all religions are about the same, God says, "No, I want you to remember me. I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth." I mentioned earlier about the snake we ran into, and I thought of these evil teachers and false teachings. And even Jesus in Matthew 22, 23, 33 said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" We were walking along a little Indian ruin area, and some of the kids said, "Dad, look inside here. You're not going to believe it." They were standing just at the opening of a little cave. I think there's a picture of it up here, fellas, if you can show it. There he is right there. Little Mojave green rattlesnake. And it was Peter that saw it. I said, "Peter, see if you can catch it." No, I didn't say that to Peter. And in fact, I said just the opposite. I said, "You guys get away from there. Those things are dangerous. Get away from there." You know, that should be your attitude towards false teaching. Our attitude towards that which is false is an attitude of separation. A separated worship is what Joshua was calling them to. And a dedicated worship, worshiping the Lord God completely and with all of their heart. And so he said, remember the Lord in your worship. And then secondly, remember the Lord in your work. Remember the Lord in your work. Notice, if you would, once again in verse 14, he says, "And serve ye the Lord. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua was a great example of someone who served the Lord all the days of his life. One of the primary ways he did that was by assisting Moses. The Bible tells us in Exodus 24 and verse 13, "And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, And Moses went up into the Mount of God. And when you read down through Exodus 24, you'll find that while Moses was 40 days and 40 nights receiving the law and communing with God, there was somebody waiting on Moses. There was somebody at the bottom of the mount. And when Moses came back down from the mount, Joshua was there, patiently waiting as the minister of God and as the minister of Moses, waiting and assisting the man of God in the work of God. Helen Keller once said, "I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble." I think that's the spirit that Joshua had. Long before he became the leader in Israel, he had an attitude towards every opportunity that God had given to him that this is very important and that I will do my best in the work of the Lord. He assisted Moses. He assisted in the battles that came against the children of Israel, standing firm and fighting day after day and doing what God had called him to do. The Bible tells us that as the Amalekites came and as they were fighting in Exodus 17 against the children of Israel, that Moses once again called on Joshua. And the Bible says that Joshua discomfited them with the sword and Joshua won the victory. Listen, when he stood up before the congregation and said, "In your worship be pure and in your work be diligent," he wasn't giving them thoughts. He wasn't giving them ideas. He was giving to them his heart, and from his life, he had shown them how to worship and he had shown them how to work. I was walking around the campus this afternoon and looking at some of the modulars and some of the landscaping and some of the things that need to be done in the next 3 weeks. And I personally believe that this church has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. That is all of us who comprise this local church. And I believe that everything on this property belongs to the Lord and ought to bring glory to the Lord. And while we're going to do our best to keep the worship pure, we also want to keep our diligence in work so that this place is a testimony to the glory of God. And that was the spirit of Joshua. He was a working man and a serving man, and God had blessed his life for it. Oh, listen, the devil will try to discourage and he'll come against us, but we must determine to be faithful in our worship and in our work. The reverence of Joshua is where it all began. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But then we see the remembrance of Joshua. He was reminding them that in their worship and in their work, they needed to be faithful for the Lord. But notice, finally, the reminders of Joshua as he gives this last message in verse 15. The Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's say that last phrase together. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." One more time. "But as for me," that's something that ought to be stated. That's something that ought to be made into a plaque or calligraphy and placed on the wall of your house. That's something that anyone who visits your house should sense instantly. More than they realize you like the Lakers, or more than they realize you like hot rod cars, or more than they realize you enjoy some other hobby, the first thing they ought to notice about you is that this house is a Christian household. "And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Spiritual leadership involves spiritual influence. And Joshua was using all that he had to influence them in the ways of God, to influence them for the Lord, and to do what God had called him to do. And so it is. He reminded, first of all, the other men all around them. He speaks to the congregation, and he speaks to them in verse 15, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." You know the difference between teaching and preaching? Teaching edifies, but preaching brings us to a decision. And every Sunday morning as we preach the gospel, for example, we're bringing people to a place of making a choice. And tonight, we come to a place of making a choice. Will our families be Christian families? Will our leadership be godly in the sense of our worship and our work? Will we be a people whose testimony says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Joshua, from the very early days of his leadership, let it be known that he was going to obey God. Look back at Joshua chapter 1 for a moment, and back to the moment that God gave him this great responsibility. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you the victuals. For within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it.'" Whenever God spoke to this man, he said, "All right, let's do what God said." Whenever God said, "We're going to take the next city," he said, "All right, let's do what God told us to do." And here at the end of his life, he's reminding them, it's still all about God. And it's all about doing what God has called us to do. But not only did he remind his peers, but notice secondly, he reminded his family, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He let his family know. He let his generation know that he would serve the Lord. John Murray one day was a Christian man who informed his children that he was the boss and that they were to obey him. And after a long time of silence, his son spoke up and said, "Wow, Daddy thinks he's mommy." You know, with all due respect, too many Christian homes today are led by mommy, or worse than that, by the teenagers. I often say to Brother Schmidt, if we can keep the teenagers passionate for God, it'll influence the whole church. But you know, it really isn't designed to be that way. God intends for the husband to set the direction. And on this Father's Day, let us hear the words of Joshua. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And on Sunday morning, the children should not have to look to mom to see if they're going to go to church. And they should not have to look to mom to see about if it's time to read the Bible or do other spiritual things. But God has called the father to say, "This house is a Christian household, and we will serve the Lord." Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Oh, how we need today men who are not ashamed to talk about the Lord and the Bible and the things of God and deflect the praise to God and let the family know that it's all by the grace of God that we're saved and blessed and speak of the wonderful attributes of God and the truths of the Word of God. And here was a man, Joshua, who was doing just that. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Isaiah 5 and verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Men, do you realize tonight that in this day in which we live, that men are calling good evil and evil good? We live in a strange society. We live in a day where people spend money to buy faded jeans. How strange is that? We live in a day where young people are encouraged to live in promiscuity safely. Where evil is called good and where sin is called an alternative lifestyle. And the television and the social media is constantly doing their best to brainwash your child and your family. And perhaps some wives tonight could come and lay down at the altar your soap operas and your novels that influence your thought life. Perhaps there should be some repentance tonight in order that once again we might have Christian homes and homes where we say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Boy, there's nothing wrong with getting excited about sports, and it's fun to watch athletic events and things of this nature. But listen, may it always be said that the thing that really got Dad excited was when God was at work in the lives of people, when the Word of God was at work in our hearts. God bless you men for being here tonight. In this day when the values are so twisted and backward, may we continue to say, "I don't care what's going on outside the walls of this home, but as for me and my house, We will serve the Lord. I don't care how many piercings that little girl down the street gets. I'm sorry she doesn't seem to have a father that cares much. But as for me and my house, we're not going to look like the pagan. We're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry to hear that the church they're attending has become more of a concert hall for rock and roll music and infrequently at that. I'm sorry to hear that's the way it is, but as for me and my house and as for this church, we will serve and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be challenged, no doubt, in many ways. Joshua knew the congregation would be challenged in many ways. He specifically mentions the Chaldeans and the gods from Egypt. He knew the things that would interest them in their day and with the other cultures. But he said, make sure, I want to remind you to make sure that you and your house stand up for the Lord. Dads, may we take an active role. May we be spiritual leaders. And may we learn tonight from Joshua, a man who feared the Lord and reverenced the Lord. And may you fear him more than what a bunch of unsaved people at work think. And may you be more concerned about pleasing God than someone who's going to make fun of you. Reverence and fear the Lord. Not only did he reverence the Lord, he remembered the Lord in his worship and in his work. And then he reminds this generation, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you taken that stand for your family, men? Is it fairly well known in your home that this thing of living for God and living by the Word of God and being in the house of God and giving and witnessing, this matter of being a Christian isn't a passing fancy, but it is the way you intend to live until the day God calls you home. You intend to live for God and with a heart for God. Let that be known. It may just help you yourself tonight to say it again. It may help you to say tonight to your family, that's what we're going to be. We're going to be a Christian home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.